Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, just a couple of things. First off, I just want to share a little Spotify pro tip that I came up with some weeks ago when we reviewed De La Soul. It destroyed my recommendations. Weirdly, it put a lot of gangster rap in my recommendations.
Ah, interesting.
So I wanted to find a way to stop albums from messing with that. I found out that if you create a playlist and in that three-dot menu select exclude from taste profile, whatever you listen to in that playlist won't affect your recommendations.
Well, you could also do a private session.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's if you have, well, yeah, you have a Spotify account. Yeah. Like when you go into your account and one of the options is to start a private session.
Okay.
So anything you do does not go. It's not get shared and it doesn't go into your algorithm.
There's two ways to do it. Either way, if you want to just, you know, listen to something you're not sure you're going to like, you know, or if you're doing a review show like us and you have to listen to something abysmal, it doesn't fuck with your recommend. Or even something decent like De La Soul that isn't what you normally would listen to. My recommendations are finally back to like the punk and indie that I like.
Okay.
But yeah, just, you know, two ways to approach that if you just want to listen to something a little experimental.
And I listened on my wife's account back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so her like year end thing would be like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
she would see all these things that I'd be like listening to review.
Harry Styles is still in my daily drive.
You know, it's funny. I heard one of the songs from that album. In a place, and I was like, oh, like this song sounds familiar for some reason. And at first I thought, oh yeah, it's like a Coldplay song, right? But I realized, no, it was Harry Styles.
Also want to mention, and I'll have a link in the show notes on johnscutter.com. I saw this video on YouTube from the Polyphonic channel about the origin of the concept album. Very interesting. Of course, they go back to the song cycles from Wagner and shit. But the
that's a good point. The Wagner kind of came up with it, you know.
But the first actual recorded concept album actually spread across 3 78s because it was long. Woody Guthrie's Dust Bowl Ballads from 1940.
Wow. Okay.
Frank Sinatra's In the Wee Small Hours, also grouped by a theme, required two albums originally. I think there was one from the 50s and then it gets into the 60s, of course, when they were all over the place.
And now I think about it, that's why they called it, you know, a rock opera when they got it the late, you know, the Tommy and stuff, because the opera is the suite.
And a rock opera is a form of concept album.
Yeah.
They don't have to be. Dark Side is a concept album, not a rock opera.
Right.
It's all a group of similarly themed songs. Forget any color.
It's a group of themed songs and any color.
Yeah. And they've pointed out a lot of current pop artists are doing concept albums in a similar way. The songs are all grouped by a theme.
Yeah.
The last three Taylor Swift albums, new albums, have essentially been concept albums, grouped by an aesthetic and a theme.
About someone that's dumped her,
a
breakup.
There is a proliferation of romantically themed music. As an aromantic person, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. When rock dropped it in the 80s, hip-hop picked it up.
Yeah.
And there are even pop-punk concept albums. Blink-182 and Green Day did concept
Green Day,
albums.
Yeah.
American Idiot, and I forget the Blink one. So that art form, A, is way older than I thought, and is also alive and well, which I had no idea about.
I kind of figured it was alive and well. You know, you had Coheed and Cambria, you know.
Janelle Monáe has a whole group of albums that are concept albums. So I was just very surprised by that. And finally, we can't avoid it anymore.
Yeah, let's put this one to rest.
On to this week's album, Anderson Burford Wakeman Howe by Anderson Burford Wakeman Howe. ABWH, I'll just call them from now on. Or an English progressive rock supergroup formed in 1988 after John Anderson left the 80s version of Yes over creative differences. He said they were too commercial. And consisted of four-fifths of the classic Yes lineup. The lone holdout bassist Chris Squire chose to remain with the then current lineup of Yes, who sued them right before the album was released and barred them from using Yes in any of the promotional materials. AWWH is their first and only studio album. It was released on June 20th, 1989 by Arista Records, produced by John Anderson and Chris Kimsey, who has some great albums under his belt as a producer, and features John Anderson on lead vocals, Steve Howe on guitar, Rick Wakeman on keyboards, Bill Bruford on acoustic and electric drums, although I don't know if I heard any acoustic drums, with additional musicians Tony Levin on bass, Chapman Stick and vocals, Matt Clifford on keyboards, programming, orchestration and vocals, Melton McDonald on rhythm guitar, and the Oxford Circus Singers, the GMC Singers, the Emerald Island Community Singers, and the Insane Singers on background vocals. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscatter.com, you'll find links to AWWH on Spotify and YouTube, so you can follow along if you'd like. Track one, themes. I like the opening riffs, although that whistle-sounding synth is the first of many dated synth sound.
The intro to this just sounds so old, like stuff that Yes had already done, you
Bruford
know?
really needed to lay off the electronic drums.
Bruford wasn't the problem in
Well,
this.
no, not overall. No. He was a minor offender. It was just too many electronic drums. The main offender on this entire album for me is Wakeman.
Obviously. I put my notes. Was there a point where he lost his hearing and just didn't understand just how obnoxious his keyboard sounded?
And many of these songs have multiple parts. So this first part is called Sound. It's got some interesting syncopation. I like the harmonies. The faux Latin piano is, and this is a note for the entire album, is really fucking annoying.
Yeah. I love the bass. When it kicks into the second section, I'm
I
assuming
mean, it's
that's the
Tony Levin.
second part. Yeah, you could like, hey Tony, good to hear you. What
Yeah.
are you, why, I'm so sorry you got saddled in this.
The instrumental breaks got a nice guitar sound. This album, Asia, and Toy Matinee all have the same problem to varying degrees: a lack of vision.
I understood what they were trying to do in Asia. I mean, I didn't like it. But I understood they were writing pop songs.
Yeah,
This doesn't make any sense.
Toy Matinee was a bunch of pop studio guys trying to make a prog album, and it was really just, hey, I wrote some music, let's have fun with it.
Right.
Asia was frankly a cash grab, let's be real.
Yeah, of course.
And
And I understood that.
this was, hey, let's get together and make an album. Nobody had a vision, nobody had an idea. It was just, okay, that sounds cool, let's go with it.
I mean, right from the name, you could tell they didn't have a vision or know
And
what they
it
were
was
doing.
40, a bunch of 40 to 45-year-old guys trying to make contemporary music with no idea. I think they were just listening to too much new age.
Well, the thing is, it sounds like they were trying to make stuff for the old school prog fans, but they were making what they wound up doing is just making long pop songs.
Yeah. And in the late 80s and early 90s, there was a lot of exoticism in
Yeah.
music. There was this whole fixation on world music and, talking about how much you like music from other cultures. They swallowed that shit whole.
But, well, we'll get to that.
That second section, Second Attention, is again nice guitar sound. It's basically just a long instrumental break.
If they just put that second section in, or just drop that intro, this probably would be a decent song.
The last section, Soul Warrior, starts with this nice low piano riff.
And this Jesus built my hot rod drums.
Some good lead guitar. Goes on way too long without a change, though.
Yeah, it does. And that's just overall, there's just too much on top. They didn't know when to edit, when to cut it down. Just being long does not make it progressive, especially if it's stuff you've already done like 10, 15 years earlier.
Someone just needed to rein in Wakeman.
Well, I think this was just, they weren't even together when they did this. They all recorded separately, didn't they?
Probably.
And I think Wakeman might not have had any idea what type of song he was playing for, because it doesn't sound like he did. It sounds like he's just running roughshod over like the entire composition. You're just like, whoa. But I think we're getting into that,
Yeah. Track two, Fist of Fire. Good groove, but way too repetitive. Some interesting percussion, like the vocal melody. That little short solo in the middle of the verse was nice. Some good guitar, like the harmonies. It's just too many very dated synthesizer sounds.
I love that low register kind of rumble. I'm not sure who's making it, if it's Wakeman
Probably
on
Wakeman.
keys or if it's Howe with the guitar.
It's probably Wakeman.
It might be. Because, I mean, they would just do this nice low register rumble and then back to your stereotypical 80s keyboards that really at this point in 89 are pretty dated in
But it's
themselves.
a bunch of 40-year-old musicians who had a career 20 years earlier. They didn't know what was current. They had no way to know.
But Yes was, I mean, they like big generator and stuff. They were still, kicking ass at this point.
Thank you, Trevor Horn.
Right.
They didn't have Trevor Horn here. Trevor Horn was part of the reason Anderson left. Yes. Basically, Trevor Rabin and Trevor Horn had a stranglehold on the creative control.
Yeah.
And given how successful those two albums were, 90125 and Big Generator, they were making the right decisions.
Did you see they got this? That was like the issue number
Yeah, it
for
was
this
the,
record.
of the album, yeah.
Yeah.
It was basically the serial number of the album.
Yeah. Just to get a Yes reference in.
If we didn't have to do a tribute next week, I was going to suggest 90125 is just a contrast, but we really do need a break from the 80s prog.
Yes. Oh yeah, totally. But this could have been a decent song if it wasn't for those high 80s keyboards just running over this entire thing. They should have sold this to a soundtrack for a Rocky movie or something.
A lot of this would have been decent if they just took out about half of what Wakeman was doing.
If Wakeman, I mean, it could also just be the mix too, because he was really high in the mix everywhere. And Bruford and Howe are just, and of course, Levin are just almost non-existent in some
I
parts.
love Tony Levin. And to be fair, his whole thing is playing as few notes as he can get away with.
Yeah.
He's a very, very economical player. I only noticed him in like one or two spots on the album.
Yeah,
And I was
totally.
listening because he's amazing.
Right. They just probably didn't use him enough. But I think when they did, he was very low in the mix. But so was Howe in a lot of parts.
He had to be
And so
so
is
long.
Bruford.
I noticed Milton McDonald more than I noticed Howe, the other
Yeah.
guitarist.
Yeah.
Track three, Brother of Mine, the final section of this draws on an unrecorded Asia track, Long Lost Brother of Mine, written by Howe and Downs.
Which actually, in my notes, I hadn't realized that. And I said, this could be worse than anything we heard on Asia.
First section, The Big Dream. This is 10 minutes long. This was the single.
How the fuck was this a single?
They cut it down to 6 minutes,
It's
and it was
so
still a single.
horrendous.
So, is this your pick for weakest?
No.
Not yet. Okay. It's a close second for me.
I've got this as my third weakest.
Okay. That overtly Asian opening is very dated.
Oh, totally. And they used it in Yes already, like I don't know how many times.
I like the vocal melody at the beginning. That rhythm guitar is like straight out of like 80s TV.
In fact, this doesn't become listenable until like 6 minutes in, like when you get that guitar solo. And then after, and that only lasts for so long because then you get this crazy repetitive, ending.
At least Anderson's lyrics are a little bit better than Asia's.
I'm not,
You're not prepared to say
I've learned to not pay attention to
that?
Anderson's
Right.
lyrics.
I actually messaged you on my casual listen. I managed to do three on this one.
I wisely said no, I'm not doing three. I did two, just to make sure I had like stronger talking points. And it was funny, like I think I was within the first two tracks going, oh man, I'm just being silly. This isn't that bad. It's not good, but it's not that bad.
And
But when
then,
this kicked in, I
yeah.
was like, oh, I was right. This is awful. Why would I wouldn't subject myself to this anymore than I have to.
But I messaged you and said, yeah, I'm doing my casual listen, and I finally remembered not to listen to Anderson's lyrics.
And yeah, at first I was thinking, maybe I'll just play it cool and not say how I'm feeling about this, but I was just like, no, this is bad.
And
This
at
is
this
really
point,
bad.
it was a casual listen. I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's whatever. It was kind of meh for me. And then we'll get to my worst, was right after that. And well, I referred to it as the problematic Disney song.
Yes, and I think I even have my notes Epcot Center before you
Yeah.
even said that.
But back to Brother of Mine, section
Yes.
two, Nothing Can Come Between Us. Nice piano solo, though it does sound a bit synthy.
Yes.
And then that's where I have the note about them listening to too much New Age. The third section, along with Brother of Mine, does have a nice odd meter bit, and then we get to this annoying sing-along. And then back to the odd meter, and then back to the annoying sing-along.
It's just so repetitive.
And then I have, there was no way to expect the album to be this bad. It could be the worst album we've reviewed.
Pretty close.
And then, as I said to you when we first got on the call, I'm gonna skim any album I suggest from now on before I suggest it. Track four, Birthright. This one was co-written by Max Bacon, the frequently off-key singer from GTR.
I'd take him over Downs.
Downs wasn't a singer.
Or I'm trying to think of
Oh,
a
John
wet.
Wetton? It's a debatable there.
They're very similar, actually, now that I think about it. They're very similar.
Nice atmospheric opening. I like the Spanish guitar. It's got an interesting groove. The rhythm guitar is a little better on this one. Nice vocal melody.
This is one of the stronger ones on the
Yeah,
album.
I like the distorted guitar riff. It's an Englishman complaining about American imperialism. We learned it from watching you.
Yes, pretty much. I like how is more of the focus musically in this. Wakeman's keyboards are probably at their best here, I think. They just kind of soar.
Yeah, like the bass riff in the instrumental section. I think Wakeman was just playing random notes, though. Very quickly, but they seem pretty random.
I mean, it starts out different, and then all of a sudden he just kind of goes back to like the brassy sound yet again. I lost some respect for him on this album, and I think I've gained even more respect for Tony Banks, who used some of these same sounds, but felt like he used them more with more restraint.
I remember the solo album that I just said I would. We were gonna review one of his solo albums, but before recording, I said, I'm just gonna savage this thing, and he's your favorite, so maybe we don't record it.
But it was
But it was better than this.
right, and it was 7 years before
Yeah,
this,
well,
or
yeah.
6 years. Think about that.
But what the fuck was Anderson yelling at the end with the percussion?
I don't know.
And the line about no place for the red and white. Is that maybe the Reunion Jack?
I don't know. That was a really weird line that I didn't get a chance to look up what the hell he would have meant by that.
Yeah.
This is
No, like
probably.
no room here for the stars and stripes, which is obvious, and yeah, real rich coming from Obrecht.
Right. And this is, probably Bruford's best drumming on the whole album.
My only issue with Bruford on this album is the electronic drums, which work in Crimson in this era. But just didn't work for me here.
I mean, everybody was using them, though. It was the thing to do at this time.
Collins used them really well.
Oh, yeah.
I think Collins maybe used them better than Burford
Yeah,
did.
I mean, he used them in different ways. So, I mean, obviously, he was very careful with his drumming.
Oh yeah, that's what I've always loved about Collins. He's very particular. Anyway, track five, The Meeting. This one has some nice mellow piano. The melody, the vocal melody might be as cheesy as the lyrics, and I think the vocal kind of ruins what would have otherwise been a nice instrumental piano piece.
It really doesn't go anywhere for me. I mean, I was expecting something to happen here, and it's one of the few where they just keep straight on, which I like later on, but not this one.
Track six, Quartet, part one, I Want to Learn. Like the opening guitars. Not sure about the synth doubling the guitar, but there are some nice harmonies. I have to question a lyric. the line we haven't spoken quite a while.
Man, this
It should be spoken or talked if you want to keep it to one syllable.
this one originally I had as weakest because it just shocked me as to like just how low they could go.
And then
Those fake keyboards are just such fake horn keyboards are
yeah, the
just
horn sounds are
such
horrible.
cringy in this.
It's part two, She Gives Me Love, co-written by Ben Dowling. This part contains lyrical references to several Yes songs.
Well, you think about it, the part written there was Max Bacon,
He wrote the
you know,
last one, or two
so
songs
there,
ago.
right? So that was like a GTR leftover. There was
Possible.
an Asia leftover. Yeah, these are all like leftovers from their projects.
The second section has a nice groove of, I like the vocal melody. Hal and Wakeman were just throwing too much in under the vocal. Though I do like that little Baroque synth part. And part three, who was the first? This one is just not different enough to be a different section.
Did they lock Bruford in a closet on this one?
I mean, there's a nice drum sound. It sounds like it's gonna build, but then it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then the last section, I'm Alive. Nice little piano opening, good vocal.
My notes end for that song. It can't get any worse, can
Track seven, my pick for weakest.
Same.
Oh, this is your pick for weakest.
Yeah, when I listened to this the second time, I was like, oh, good God.
This is the problematic Disney song, Tique Bois. It's just painful. I'm calling it the problematic Disney song. They're calling it Tique Bois or Tique Boys. I'm not
Teak
sure which.
Boys, yeah, I think Teak Boys.
It sounded like Wah Wah at some point. It's
Early
just.
use of the BOI spelling.
Very early. This is just painful. Why did they do this? There's a reference to Bobby Dread in the Cool Runnings in one section. Bobby Dread is a real guy. I looked him
Yeah.
up. I didn't see any reference to a band called the Cool Runnings. This is just exoticism at its worst. Like, they're trying to sound like, oh, we're hip and like, Latin sounding. But
Yeah.
it's just seems really problematic.
It reminded me and I have my notes, it was like this Epcot Center, version of the Caribbean, but it's like there's
Oh, yeah, it's
a
true. It's
ride
Calypso, not Latin. You're right.
there's a ride in Disney called and of course this is like 30 something years ago that I was at Disney. I believe it was called the Tiki Birds
It's still there.
that my mom wanted to go see, and we humored her, and it was torturous. I'm not gonna lie, it
Take
was
Under
really
the
bad.
Sea, make it even more problematic, and have Rick Wakeman playing cheesy Latin keyboards all over.
And they could have gotten away with this if Wakeman did
There
not
wasn't for
have
you
those
meddling kids.
keyboards. Yes. If it wasn't for Wakeman's meddling keyboards, they could have gotten away with this. They could have pulled this off with, some good musicianship and maybe some authentic singers like that with them. But when you have Wakeman's 80s cheesy keyboards, just, man, it's just dreadful.
It's demoralizing. I'm going to call it a crime against music.
It could be, yeah.
And Anderson left, yes, because they were getting too commercial.
Right. But if you make it 7.5 minutes, you can fool yourself into say, well, it's progressive, right? They're
And then, of
using
course, they go to a horrible African section. And I mean horrible, a cheesy, and also very, very exoticizing.
and for some reason the whole like on Broadway
I was just going to go there. They also ripped off on
section
Broadway.
goes in there. And
At
I mean
least Genesis was obvious about it. They pretty much admitted, yeah, this is on Broadway.
They
They quote
shout
it.
out, every reference they make, there's a shout out to every influence on the Lamb has like an insane amount of references in there that they give, like My Little Runaway, and like they're all like he
Okay,
comes
so
right out and
they're
puts them
very
in the
honest about it.
lyrics. They even do they say the lights are always bright on Broadway. He sings that at the very end.
They tried to kind of slip it in there thinking you weren't going to notice it.
But he kind of lyrically quotes it too. Like, you have to know. Like, there's no getting away with that. He's referencing that, but referencing that in the middle of what's supposed to be a multicultural song, it's kind of calling it, well, is this just theater then that you're doing this? Like, this is stuff that's also been done too. Like, Hackett did it in the 70s, Peter Gabriel, Talking Heads. They've already been here and did this and did it a lot better than this.
Remember back in the 90s, you had those white boys with dreads and ponchos
Oof, yeah.
who loved their pan flutes? This is what happens when those boys get middle-aged.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They should have had dreads.
Track 8, Order of the Universe. A nice opening riff. The electronic drums take it down a little bit for me, but there's a goodly guitar sound Howe is almost shredding. The dated synth ruins it a little more.
Of course. You could say that for almost every song on the album.
There are some nice harmonies, but here's where I have the note. I hope they've all retired at this point. They've destroyed their legacy with this album.
Luckily not many people heard it.
Yeah, true.
This could have been a good song again, but it didn't need to be a 9-minute song.
Yeah.
The intro is ridiculously long, and it's almost a hair metal song in a way, you know,
And
didn't go
get
to
to the
that.
middle section, Rock Gives Courage, co-written by Rhett Lawrence. Good vocal, horrible synths, nice big drum sound, like the chorus melody, but it's just a cheesy, like rockin' 80s new song. But yes, can't do that.
They gave a smidge to Bruford to actually do in this. It's almost a bright spot on the album, but it's kind of buried in 9 minutes, because at the end, of
Yeah.
course, it gets too repetitive and should have ended sooner.
Next section, it's so hard to grow. Verse section goes on a bit too long. Chorus doesn't really add anything to it. And then they just restate the previous section. And final section, the universe, it's just the vocal from the beginning restated.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's a drum solo, but it's kind of meh for Bruford. He could do better.
They really had so much on this.
And then an annoying new age riff, and at least there's this nice ominous ending. And finally, let's pretend my pick for favorite, co-written
Same
by
here.
Vangelis. We agreed on both. That's weird.
Yep.
It's rare. It's just a nice acoustic ballad. I almost wasn't going to pick a favorite until we got to this one.
It's so refreshing to just hear this straight up thing that has a beginning and an end, and you know.
Some great guitar at the beginning, good vocal melody. Wakeman adds to it without going overboard for once.
Right. They finally show some
And
restraint.
it's just mercifully short.
Yes. I'm thinking of Triumph the Insult Comic Dog with his comment about Coldplay's Yellow. It goes on forever, and then when it's over, it's a relief to me. It's like peeing.
Safe to say, neither of us recommend this one.
No.
I would
Destroy every
say,
copy that you
yeah,
could find.
avoid it. This is the Thanksgiving two of albums.
You should have, when you said at the beginning about following along, you know, you should have
Please
said
don't.
don't.
Yeah, I should have.
I know it's probably too late now, and I'm really sorry if you did follow along
Yeah.
with this, but you probably stopped somewhere along the way. Like in the third track, you probably said, fuck these guys, I'm not listening to this shit.
Save that last song and a couple of spots here and there. Definitely the case for Teak Boys. I am going to call it a crime against music. It is the worst album for me, the worst album we've reviewed.
It really could be. Yeah, I don't want to think about the bad albums we've done, though,
I
so I'm
actually
not going
looked
to
through and
compare.
couldn't find one worse. And thankfully, that's it for Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Private Dancer by Tina Turner as a tribute. We got word today that she passed.
Know, they should have called the band, and this is so obvious. No.
Yeah. Like I said, hopefully they aren't committing any more crimes against me. As far as I know, they're all still alive.
Yeah, but they're not doing this again.
Yeah, and I hopefully they've all retired and they're not inflicting horrible things on the world of music anymore.
I think GTR was better than this.
GTR would be interesting to revisit, you
It's
know?
been a while since I've listened to it, and I
Yeah.
remember being kind of But
I loved it.
compared to this,
I love that album back in the day. It'd be interesting to revisit. Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
there
are.
you are.